reading this morning is from Matthew 6, verse 12, and then 14 and 15, and then some more from Matthew 18. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now Matthew 18, verse 21 onwards. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. When the master called the servant in, then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning. The Lord's Prayer. Don't we know it so well? It takes 35 seconds to say the Lord's Prayer, but I'm sure you agree, the words of the prayer are probably some of the most profound that have ever been said and written. N.T. Wright, one of the most prominent Christian writers, said this about the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer, correctly understood, is one of the high roads into the central mystery of Christian salvation and Christian experience. I had a quick look on Google this morning, and according to Google, there's 2.4 billion Christians in the world. Now, even if only half of them say the Lord's Prayer every day, that's 1.2 billion people saying those words. That's why it starts with our Father. We're not praying ourselves to the God. We're joining in with a worldwide flow of prayer. Isn't that wonderful to think? So as a very brief recap, if you haven't been here, in the last couple of... I know Amanda's got a good excuse for not having been here the last couple of weeks, and the team. In the past couple of weeks, we've thought about the start of the Lord's Prayer, where we acknowledge God as our Father, that God is worthy of praise, and that his will and kingdom come first in our lives. Then we went on to think about God being a great provider, in that he sustains us with our daily bread, and that can mean physical and spiritual bread. And today's topic, as we've said, is the rather difficult subject of forgiveness. Verse 12 is short, but there's such a great depth of meaning to it. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Or you may be more familiar with one or two other translations, like words like forgive us our trespasses or forgive us our sins. But they all amount to the same thing. It's interesting that after Jesus' followers said, teach us how to pray, Jesus gave them that prayer, but then he only went on to emphasise one part of it, and it was this part on forgiveness. He expanded the need to forgive. If you remember, we've just seen the words, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So why is forgiveness so important? Max Lucado, a well-known Christian author, said this. You've probably heard this before, but it's really good, this. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. And it's also, just to chip in there, God also sent a team of us from our team to Uganda, and he gave them what they needed, didn't he? But since our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent us a saviour. Forgiveness is right at the very core of our faith. The very first interaction that we have with God when we surrender our lives to him and come to Christ is to ask for forgiveness for what has gone before. And we know that because of God's great love and mercy for every one of us, we receive forgiveness through Jesus' saving work on the cross. When forgiveness is given, granted, then restoration of a relationship occurs. We have a restored relationship with God. And when we forgive others, our relationships are restored with them.
Sorry, mate. I just needed to check. I just was watching, looking at the communion wine. I wanted to check it.
Couldn't you wait until afterwards?
It's fine. No, I'm really sorry, mate. I just wanted to... Sorry.
Did you say that? Honestly. Calls himself a curate. I can't believe that just happened. Where was I? I can't remember where I was. Did you see? I just did. Could have knocked me off. I could have ended up in hospital. Where was I? If we are not able to forgive, then we're creating problems for ourselves. Lack of forgiveness can lead to hard-heartedness and resentment. I just can't believe he did that. Can you believe that? Curate in the Church of England. Look what he's done to me. I thought he'd been careful, wouldn't you? We may feel we've been wronged. And aren't we entitled to some kind of recompense from the person that's carried out the perceived wrong against us? Curate. This attitude can develop into resentment and become a heavy load for us to bear. We might not even realise it's the case. The load will just seem to get heavier and affect whatever is going on in our lives. It's only when we are prepared to offer forgiveness to the person who's wronged us that we'll find that the load becomes lighter or even disappears. Thank goodness that brick's gone. Perhaps he didn't mean it. He's okay, isn't he? Marcus is all right, isn't he? This attitude can develop into resentment and become a heavy load for us to bear. We may not even realise it's the case. The load will seem to get heavier and affect what's ever going on in our lives. When Jesus became our Lord and Saviour, we received God's complete and total forgiveness. But unfortunately, that's not the end of the matter. No matter how well-intentioned we are, we will continue to make mistakes and do things wrong that we will need forgiveness for because of our human nature. Jesus, of course, knew that this would be the case, which is why the need for ongoing forgiveness is catered for in the Lord's Prayer that he encourages us to pray every day. Jesus explained this principle when he demonstrated his love for his followers, if you remember, when he washed the disciples' feet at the Last Supper, when he likened our daily need for forgiveness to the washing of our feet. The daily dirt needs to be washed off, or in our case, our daily sins need to be confessed and forgiven. And as we've just heard from Richard's reading, Jesus told a parable about forgiveness when an unmerciful servant who had been forgiven a large debt by his master failed to forgive someone who owed him a small amount. This resulted in the unforgiving servant being returned to prison for his hard-heartedness and unwillingness to forgive, as he had been forgiven, resulting in God's displeasure. God's displeasure, that's not good. And we certainly don't want to be encountering that. Sorry, I've lost where I was now. So the message from Jesus is quite clear. We really must forgive others. And that this can create a dilemma. We may know and understand from Jesus' teaching that we need to forgive others, as we are encouraged to follow Jesus' teaching as closely as we can in everything he teaches us. And yet, there may well be circumstances in our lives where something has been done against us by someone else that we find it very hard to forgive. So where do we stand with Jesus if this is our situation? On our own and in our own strength, the ability to forgive may seem impossible. However, we are not on our own. God is with us at all times. Psalm 46, verse 1 tells us this: God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And Samuel 1, 16, 7, if we talked about this a few weeks ago, tells us the Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God would not want us to be unsure of how to act or to be anxious about any perceived inability to forgive. He's simply looking for our heart's intention, and he'll know if we want to live in obedience to him. He's a loving Father, full of grace and mercy, and he will give us a power that is beyond our human abilities to be able to start a process of forgiveness towards others. I really emphasise it's important that we understand this need to forgive. If Jesus emphasised this after giving the Lord's Prayer to his disciples, and then later went on to tell a parable driving the point home, we should take this in and really apply his teaching. As hopefully you'll realise, that was set up our little contretemps. So as we tried to demonstrate with that little that thought, unforgiveness becomes a burden, and it's really liberating and freeing when we find that we're able to forgive from the heart. Forgiveness benefits us as much as the person being forgiven, if not more. And we should trust that God will give us the ability to be able to forgive. We may have the need to forgive ourselves for any perceived shortfalls in our relationship with God or other things that we might have done in our lives. We might be holding a grudge against ourselves, and that's difficult and it's real. But again, we need to learn to forgive ourselves. Be assured that the moment you say sorry to God and sincerely mean it, your sins are cancelled out and forgiven, and you're completely wiped out. We can be assured of this truth from the beautiful description of love in 1 Corinthians 13, when Paul tells us, love keeps no record of wrongs. So as we know that God is love, then we know that our sins have been permanently dealt with. So to close then, may I suggest that we look on forgiveness as a really important part of our walk with the Lord. Jesus came, his main aim was to reconcile all people back to God and also to reconcile us to each other. One of the best ways for us to walk together in faith is to be ready to support each other and to be ready to forgive when the need arises. And as always, let us look always to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, to enable us to do this.